Well, good morning and welcome to the services here this morning at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. We wish you a happy Father's Day, those of you that are fathers, and we have a birthday today, Marilyn's birthday, and we have the first day of summer. And then after services today, we plan on having the Lord's table. So we're just so thankful to be here, and we ask that you'd remember us in prayer. Remember one another. And would you join me in the book of Numbers this morning? Numbers chapter 1, and I'd like to begin reading with verse 2. Numbers chapter 1, and begin reading with verse 2. There are some names that we're going to read here or go over that I'm very poor at names, so I'm going to ask you to fill in, if you would, as you read along. I will mention the name of the tribe, and we have a name after that. That person is going to be a very important person in the numbering of the folks that we're looking at here. And also, we find that if there is an EL associated in the word, whether it's at the beginning or the end, it has something to do with Jehovah, that name does. And we'll be going through that at a later date. We also notice that with the names that are listed here, that they are the son of someone. And it just reminds me that we're all children of Adam. This person is related to this person, and these people, these Jews, these members of the 12 tribes of Israel, could take their line directly back to Adam. They could go back through Abraham, they could go back through Noah, and they could arrive at Adam. This is a reminder to us that we are simply sinners saved by grace. If we know the gospel, if we know the Christ of the gospel, if he's been saved by grace, we are related to Adam. We have that sin nature, we're born with it, we have no ability to deal with it on our own, but we have a great Savior. I appreciate that old hymn writer that said towards the end of his life, "There's two things I do know. Many things I've forgotten, but two things I know. I'm a great sinner, but I have a great Savior." Well, here in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord shares with Moses to take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel. Here we have it. We're dealing with Israel here. We're not dealing with any other country, any other nation. Many of them around there. Many of them are enumerated. They're listed in other places. Those people that inhabited the land that they're headed for. There are a lot of people there that are named by the nation that they are a member of, the tongue that they speak. But this is the only nation that God ever did anything like this for. And there's only one other entity that he ever did this for, and that's the church. Israel is going to be numbered here. They'll be numbered later after the inability of these folks by God's purpose of grace to go into the promised land. Many of them die off, so they're going to be another numbering, and Israel is numbered and the church is numbered. And we'll look at that as we go through this message. But it says to take the sum of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male, by their polls. Last week we looked at that word polls for just a moment, and we saw that this word is a Hebrew word, Golgotha, which is brought out in the New Testament or transliterated. Not translated, but transliterated. We do have called Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. So we will find out as we go through the scriptures, it's revealed to us that Jesus Christ is the only one that can pay the head tax or the poll tax, the Golgotha price for us. And he did that at the cross. The number of these from the 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe. Now, we're going to go down through here and we'll read some of the names. You read the rest as we go through here, as you read it along with me. But we have here that God has already picked out the leaders of these tribes. He didn't ask for volunteers. He probably wouldn't have got any. But he says who is going to be the leader over these tribes. And with you there shall be a man tribe of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. How important it is for us to notice here that the God not only has a number, but he has a name with those numbers. And this will be very important as we go over to the book of Revelation shortly. It says, take every man of every tribe, everyone the head of the house, but these are the names of the men that shall stand with you of the tribe of Reuben, Elizur. And once again, we have that EL, and it has something to do with Jehovah, and we will look at that. And you read the rest of those. And the tribe of Judah, we're going to have an important person there, and he's going to be the son of this person. Let's trace our line right back to Adam. We are part of the fall. We fell in Adam. It's by one man, sin entered into the world. We have death by sin. We have this death sentence on us. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We have no ability in ourselves to do anything about that. It's such a deadly sin, such death that we have, spiritually dead. Goes on to talk to us about Simeon and the person that will be over that tribe. And we have Judah and the person that will be over that tribe. And that his father is listed there, of Issachar, of Zebulun, of the children of Joseph, Ephraim. And so we have these folks listed. And then of the tribe of Benjamin, and of the tribe of Dan, of Asher, of Gad, of Naphtali. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes, those folks that are listed here, these men that are listed here, this is their description. They were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names. Now, we're going to go back here and look at this for just a moment. We find that the period of time that the book of Numbers was written in is identified for us in the book of Galatians. Would you read there with me in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4? The book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the saints there at Galatia, he had this to say about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it was history when he wrote this. But he wants us to know most assuredly, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, he wants us to know most assuredly by the power of the Holy Spirit that in the fullness of time. Now, what does this have to do with the book of Numbers? This has to do with it, that part where it says of the time. Now, Christ came in the fullness of time, but we're going to have a lot of the time take place before Christ comes. Some 4,000 years by writing of the book of Numbers will take place. Genesis has taken place, Exodus has taken place, Leviticus has taken place, Numbers and Deuteronomy, the first five books of Moses. And remember what the Lord said about Moses. If you'd believe Moses, you'd believe me, because Moses wrote of me. So this is the message about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his care for the church as it is expressed in numbering these folks. But the time that Numbers was written, the time that Moses was used to write this passage of Scripture, is that part of the time. We have this need for all this time to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you noticed with me in the reading of this passage in the book of the book of Numbers, chapter 1, that there was a tribe by the name of Judah listed there. Now, there's wonderful reason that God shares with us about Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, but also about Judah. Now, number one, this period of time that we're looking at, that we're studying about, is not the fullness of time. That will take place when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, they're born of a virgin. We're of that time, not in the fullness of time, but we're in the time when God demonstrated to all peoples the very universality of sin. A group even cared for, as God cared for Israel, supplied all their needs, took care of them. They would not come out of their sinful state. Now, that's an issue that we deal with, and God is going to demonstrate that in the book of Numbers, as he has in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, and he will in Deuteronomy, that he paid so particular attention to Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, these children of Israel. He provided for them in such a glorious way. And I've had people tell me, if I had been there, I wouldn't be like Israel. We'd have been exactly like them without the grace of God, without the new birth. We'd be just exactly like them. God dealt with them. It was a grand experiment that he shares with us, that he gave Israel, this 12 tribes chosen through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then these 12 tribes, 12 sons of Jacob and all their children, as they spent that 430 years down there in Egypt, and they're brought out with a great host and mighty hand, brought across the Red Sea. They saw all their enemies that were in Egypt destroyed in the Red Sea, drowned, just taken down to the bottom as lead. And they moved them out and brought them before Sinai, and they built the tabernacle and did all of those things for the glory of God and for the purpose of God, and yet their heart was not in it. That these 10 times they've gone up against God, he gave them clothes that didn't wear out, shoes that didn't wear out. He fed them manna. He fed them quail, water from the rock. All of these wonderful examples of his great power. And we read that also he led them by a pillar of cloud. He led them by a pillar of fire. And he just demonstrated this over and over, how much care he gave. And yet they did not turn to God. There were so few in Israel that were of Israel, spiritual Israel. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews that these folks, they died in unbelief. They died in the wilderness. They died in unbelief. They didn't know God. And there in the book of Deuteronomy, it shares, the Lord said, I did not give you a heart to believe. So without that, it doesn't matter how good a care God gives the people, they still will not turn to him. And it's an example we find in the New Testament that the miracles that the Lord did and proclaimed, even the raising of Lazarus, the result by many people was, we got to get rid of this guy. We got to kill him. So it didn't change their heart to see those things. How many times have people said, if I saw the ark, I would believe. If I saw this or I saw that. No. They will not believe Moses. They did not believe, though one rose from the dead, is what Abraham told that man in hell. In this period of time when God demonstrated to all peoples, to us, we look back and look at this experiment. We're no different. We're the Gentiles, by and large. Out of some 4,000 years, there is no demonstration of any kind, a tendency in man to do better, to grow better. There was just none of that happened. And we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, the world by wisdom knew not God. Farther they went, wiser they got in their own idea, they knew not God. So for 4,000 years we witness this experiment of God with all the nations, with God and Israel. It is demonstrated through all this time, would man lift up himself ever? Would he ever recover from the apostasy from God? And the answer is no. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that looketh after God. So we find that word. Now, the gracious act of God is demonstrated when we look into the scriptures and we find, enter Jehovah. This one that's been set aside before the foundation of the world to be the Lamb slain. Enter Jehovah. He speaks. And it is his word that we honor. He will declare that without a one to speak on the behalf of Saul, he is the one that will speak on the behalf of those given to him by the Father before the foundation of the world. A mediator, one that has both parties in mind, God and man, those that belong to him. One that remained just, yet justified the ungodly. Here we are going to witness an interest by God of a people declared his people and does something for them that only God does for his people. And that is, he numbers his people. Israel and the church are the only ones ever numbered in Scripture. He never numbers the Esaus in the way he numbers the Jacobs. Now, he knows all the Esaus, but he names all and numbers all of the Jacobs. They are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that writing was done before the foundation of the world. It doesn't need to be literal. Why? The mind of God revealed to us in this purpose of grace that he would have an interest in us before the world began, and symbolically have us listed in his mind, in his book of names before the foundation of the world. Now we know that God knows all the numbers of all people, of all earths and all tribes. It's a special number about the church of the living God. And he's going to demonstrate that here in the numbering of these folks. There's a special pleasure in numbering the type so he could declare the number of the church. In the book of Revelation chapter 7, would you turn there with me for a moment? Revelation chapter 7. We just have to go over here to the book of Revelation for a moment. And we read here in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, and there in verse 4. Read with me here, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I don't know how many people have read this and used it as a literal number of those who are going to have some special place or whatever. This is a symbolic number for the church. This is God's number for the church. This is a distinct number for the church. To God, there is a very certain number of the church. Those he died for, his sheep, the many he ransomed. Here, as it tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4, the number is symbolic as 144,000. There is a perfect number out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue, as symbolized here by those that were in is counted. We have a special group that is counted, and they are identified by who the Lord wants to be numbered. The number is symbolic as 144,000. Yet when men view this number, notice here in Revelation chapter 7, let's read down through verse 5, 6, and 7. It says, out of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Symbolic numbers of the number out of every nation, people, and tongue that God has purposed to save. And he goes on, the tribe of Asher. He's not going to miss one tribe out of all the peoples of the world. They are his Israel. They are maybe out of England. They may be out of Spain. They may be out of Canada. They may be out of the United States. They may be out of Papua New Guinea. These tribes, these peoples, he has a distinct and very special number out of every one of them. Tribe of Naphtalim were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, it's this very purposeful number that God has chosen out of every place that he intends to save his people from. Were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And were sealed 12,000. After this, we notice here that that's the symbolic number, 144,000, 12,000 out of every tribe, symbolic number of the church. That's God's number, and he knows every one of them personally. He has had their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world, and he has given them to his Son, and his Son has gone to the cross and died for them, and the Holy Spirit has applied the gospel, the preaching of the gospel to them from Abel down to this time, probably to Adam and Eve. But we know by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. We do know this, that Abel was the first church member to be in heaven. He was there alone after his brother killed him. He was in the presence of the Lord, and he's doing, has done, and doing, and will do that which the church will always do in the presence of the Lord of glory, and that is worship him. Bow before him and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb." Well, here in the book of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. From our standpoint, there is a number that no man can number. We cannot count them. We can't figure them. We're going to go back over there to the book of Numbers, chapter 1, and we'll read that there were over 600,000 that were numbered out of the 12 tribes that were there, a certain number out of each tribe, that specific. And you know, 600,000 people in front of us, we'd say that's a number no man can number. God knows how many were there, and he's going to give us the number over there in the book of Numbers chapter 1. But we look at it and we say, that's a a great host of people. Well, that's what John saw here. He said a multitude which no man could number, of all nations, of all kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." John heard the number, 144,000. John saw the number, and he saw a number that he could not number. What a blessed thing it is, as we read in the Scriptures, as God's care of His people, to the point He would have them absolutely and correctly numbered out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. We can only say what dignity God has declared to His people in numbering them. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, read there with me if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The Scriptures say, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." God standeth sure. "Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He knoweth them that are His. He knows the exact number. He knows the exact number that are on this earth at this very moment. He knows the exact number that has been on the earth since the time of creation down to this time. And He knows the exact number that will be His people from this point on, and add it all together, come up with a number that is symbolically found in the book of Revelation, and that is 144,000. But that number, to our eyes, to us, is a number that no man can number. And that number is out of all the tribes of peoples and lands that the Lord has ever created and put in place throughout the world. The Lord knoweth them that are His. In the book of Isaiah chapter 49, when we get to looking at this number, Isaiah chapter 49, God is so gracious to share with us that when He went to the cross, He shared this about Himself. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16. Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16, we have these wonderful words. It says, well, let's look at verse 15 first. "Can a woman," Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, "can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her?" You know, we generally say, well, no, they couldn't. But the Lord says, "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." They may, but I will not. This is God speaking about His people. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me." The walls of Zion are continually. I know exactly who is my number. I know who they are. I know where they are. I have numbered them out from the very beginning. I know exactly who was in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know exactly who I went to the cross for, and I know exactly the number that the Holy Spirit will find and regenerate in the time that's appointed. In the appointed time, God will deal with us in that fashion. "So He graven thee upon the palms of my hands." The Lord has symbolically has our names graven on the palms of His hands. And in the book of John chapter 10, I know we're kind of going across the Scriptures, but would you return with me to the New Testament for just a short reading here in John chapter 10. The Lord shares with us these wonderful words that are so precious to the church. It says, "My sheep," John chapter 10 verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and Father are one." In this passage of Scripture, not only has He graven them, not only does He know them, but He says, "I know them in a very special way. My sheep hear my voice," verse 27, "and I know them, and they follow me." He knows the number of them. He knows the name of them. He knows the characteristics of everyone. He knows that we're all sinners, but He has saved His church by His grace. In chapter 13 of the book of John, let's turn there for just a moment. Chapter 13, John chapter 13, And we find here he says something about those that he chose. John chapter 13 and verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. The Lord says, I know whom I have chosen. He knows the name, he knows the number. And it's illustrated in the book of Numbers as we go back there, but it's also shared with us in the book of Revelation. There is a number out of every 100 or 1,000, the complete number. The number that is exact, the number that God chose, and the total of them is an exact number, and symbolically it's called 144,000. But when John saw the number, it was a number that no man can number. How glorious is this number that God has of the church? These he chose. He would ransom. Now, over there in the book of Numbers, as we go back to the book of Numbers, it shares with us here in the book of Numbers and in chapter 1 again. The book of Numbers, chapter 1, we read here, take ye, verse 2, take ye the sum. You take them all and add them all up. Now, they have specific criteria. 20 years and old and upward. Not all Israel is going to be counted. Not all Israel is of Israel. Not all Israel are saved. We find that out. Paul said, not all Israel is of Israel. Now, if you'll look here in the book of Numbers, chapter 1 and verse 46, we have this number given to us. Numbers, chapter 1, verse 46. What does it say here? Even all they that were numbered, 100,000, and 3,550. Now that's the total number that meet the criteria that the Lord gave Moses to have these who were over them to number. This is the number. This is the exact number. Even all they that were numbered. Now not all Israel was counted. Only those that met this criteria. Just as it is, not all people are counted. Not all people are Christ. Not all people belong to him by deliverance from their sins, by his going to the cross. We have an example over here in the book of Romans chapter 9. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 9? In Romans chapter 9, it's so good for us to go through the scriptures and see how often we find this principle mentioned about numbering the people. And this principle is carried out with Israel as a type and with the church as the anti-type. Israel was numbered, but there was a criteria, 20 years and old and older, and male, and those who could go to war. This is the criteria. The Lord's criteria about who he saves is his. To save sinners, we know that. He's going to save those who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's going to save those who Christ died for on the cross, those he made ransom for, those he made propitiation for, those he made atonement for. Those are going to be saved, but the rest are not counted. Here in the book of Romans chapter 9, let's turn there for just a moment. Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. Notice with me here, Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Not all Israel is going to be counted. Only the Jacobs will be counted. There will be many Esau's, and they will not be counted like this. Now the Lord knows the number of those, but the number that he made mention of there in the book of Numbers and those that he made mention of in the book of Revelation, that number is a very special number. That's the number of his people. That's the number of his elect. Here it says, not all Israel is of Israel. Not all Israel which are of Israel. And then in verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. It's not because they're related to someone. not because they're related to Abraham, because they can to Abraham, or even back to Noah, or back to Adam, are they all children? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham had several children, but Isaac is the line that the seed would become through. This is the children of Israel. This is the tribes of Israel. This is the 144,000 that would be counted. That's the children, the seed of Isaac. And then in verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Oh, can you see that? The children of promise are counted for the seed. He illustrates that over in the book of Numbers, chapter 1. He only counted those who had certain criteria. And he gave Moses and Aaron the responsibility of counting them, and he put over them someone over every tribe, and out of every tribe there were a certain number that were numbered. And if we will read that number as we go through the book of Numbers, it's very important. God has a number, and he has a number out of every tribe, and out of every tribe he has a number that's going to be numbered, and we found the sum of the total. But there, every tribe has a certain number. And here in verse 8 of Romans chapter 9, that is, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of number. They're not counted. They're not Jacob's. They're Esau's. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. How glorious God is to his people to let them know that he numbered them. And he will lose not any of them. There will not be one lost one out of the whole host. The 144,000 will be an exact number in heaven. But as you and I look around, we'll see a number that no man can number, just as John saw. In the book of Galatians chapter 4, turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 4. What a glorious book we have here, the Bible. And that's all we have to rely on. We don't have philosophy to rely on because it's unreliable. We don't have men's religion to rely on because it's unreliable. We don't have history to rely on because it's unreliable. I took a class one time in the college called historiography, and this guy's telling about all the historians, and they always have a very one-sided view, and that's the side they want to portray, want to give. Well, God has a one-sided view too, and that is all men are sinners. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's one-sided on this. He's not going to give an inch on this. Here in the book of Galatians chapter 4, we find, as the apostle plot to say to the Galatians, he wondered how come they were so soon moved from him. And here he says in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 23, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that was born of the free woman was born of, was by promise. These things, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Now we're camped right in front of them there in the book of Numbers, and they are numbered, and yet it tells us here that there's a whole group of these folks that are, it symbolizes Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. What a glorious statement. God has numbered his people. He knows that they are by nature in the bondage of sin, but he sets them free by the blood of Christ. He sets them free by his divine appointment. He sets them free. He has numbered them. He has graven them on the palms of his hand. He knows exactly how many they are, and he illustrates that very point when he counted out the folks that were there in trial. He didn't number them all. He counted only those that he had put before Moses, and that's the numbering. The Lord Jesus says himself, he came not to minister, be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, what does ransom mean? That's the price of redeeming. That's the price paid for slaves. That's the price to liberate many from misery and the penalty of their sins. Christ ransomed many. He knew the exact number. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ never in any of his preaching or teaching ever said that he loved everybody in the world, but he loved those that were given to him by the Father. He knew their names and he knew their number. And it's brought out by picture in Numbers chapter 1 and illustrated in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that he had a number. And it's a number that's definite. It's a number that is special. It's a number called 144,000. It's a number of, here is the sum of all the tribes, of all the people, of the God Almighty in Christ Jesus found throughout the world. And that number is given to us symbolically as 144,000. But see that when John saw them, he saw the number of them. There was a number that no man can number. And they were out of all the peoples of the world. Now, God purposed to save a people. And he purposed to save a distinct number of people, and he has illustrated that so clearly here in the book of Numbers, chapter 1. Moses, Aaron, count these folks. Then this is what I want counted. Let's just travel one more time over there to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 1, and there in verse 2, it says there, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel. I want to know the number. Now, we don't think that he didn't know the number. He knew exactly how many there were. But we're going to find out he wants them numbered for us to see that he cares about the number of his people. Take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families and by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their polls, every one, every male, with the number of their names. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Now they are numbered. We have those who are going to assist in that. Captains. We have those who have been brought to an important position by Almighty God to do this great task that is set before them. He has called on them to do this, to number these people. Now how long it take, it doesn't say. How they did it, it doesn't say. Whether he lined them up, or whether he put them in categories of 25 or 100, it doesn't say. But it does say that in the end, Numbers chapter 1, verse 46, after you go through all of the tribes, and we will do this, after he goes through all of them, it tells us here, now, special attention, verse 27, of the number, those that were numbered of them, even the tribe of Judah, was 64,600. 74,600. The exact number. All right, let's go down to the bottom there to verse 46 after the conclusion. Now we'll go back through here in lessons after this in the future, but it says here in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 46, even all they that were numbered. Can you just see, my friend, the glory of God as we've surrounded him in heaven, crying out, worthy is the Lamb. And he looks out and he sees all those that were numbered. Those nail prints were for, the print feet were for, the ones that the side was pierced for, one he shed his blood for, the one he gave his life for. This do in remembrance of me. We do that in just a moment. We're going to have a communion service. And he said the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread and break it, and this is my body broken for you. This is what Christ did on the behalf of this numbered people. And then he said, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the New Testament shed for you. This is what he did for that number. How glorious it is that he would care about a number. It's not random. I'll just save those who turn to me. Well, we know from Scripture, and the Lord would share with us, nobody would come. So he had to get involved, the glorious Savior that got involved with a downtrodden, worthless group of people, and yet their number is brought out here in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 46. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000, 3,550. Amen. That's the number. That's the ones Jesus loved with an everlasting love. Typical pictorial love. That's the number. That's the 144,000 in the book of Revelation. Those he loved with an everlasting love. Those he gave himself for. Those he was promised for. Those he became the atonement for. Those, all of these things. And you know, before the foundation of the world, he was their surety. Before the foundation of the world, he was their lamb. Before the foundation of the world, he was the lamb slain. He knew the number in eternity past before Adam had ever sinned. And out of all the hosts of people that's ever born on the face of the earth, out of that host, he has a number mankind cannot number, but the number of that group is for us to just look at. It's a definite number. The book of Revelation calls it 144,000, the perfect number of all that Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for. What glorious Christ it is, a Savior that actually died for a specific number of people that were numbered before the foundation of the world, and when he laid down his life a ransom for them, he actually was a Redeemer that redeemed a people. And the Holy Spirit goes about giving them the new birth, those that are born of the Father, those who are adopted by the Father. How glorious is this great scheme of salvation that God has provided for his people. The number. He counted them out. Take ye the sum. God, and we'll for the communion service.